Yes, please do send it to this committee again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would like to send everything else I have.
Okay. All right. Next, Mark.
Yeah.
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia is after Mark.
I would like to ask if Carol.
No. After Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the information here.
Can you speak up, please?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to pull up the information here from Richard. But from what I'm seeing here, it's just a, for lack of a better way of putting it, a regurgitation of the lines out of the bylaws, which give the foundation the option to do the voting as well as paper balloting. Although the committee had a problem in meeting this month, we did have some informal conversations, and I guess our understanding was that it was to go ahead and find means of voting as opposed to regurgitating bylaws even further. I mean, we've already established that the bylaws themselves authorize electronic voting, so why are we rehashing this? To that end, I came up with a couple of them online, and Michael Novick and I have been looking at one site in particular from the Open Voting Organization, which has a online balloting capability that can do IRV as well as the voting style that we are required in our bylaws. Their pricing is very well, and I think our thumbnail on it was that it would cost, with their services alone, about $6,000, period. Now, that does not account, one, Pacifica providing a good, verifiable balloting list. Two, does not provide for someone on site at each location as is required to fix things when people are not finding their ballots with their name or not on there or whatever. And three, it does not provide for a mechanism for paper balloting to be sent out in lieu of e-voting, although they do have the ability to handle both. So that's why why this time is being wasted on should we or should we not do e-voting when we can. We already know we can. It's just a matter of doing it. And compared to the pricing that we got from Tracy Rosenberg, that the last election cost $152,000, if that's correct, a $6,000 tag plus what are going to be practically incidental expenses seems to be a much better way to go for the foundation than what we're doing now.
How can you argue with that?
All right, so next on the SAC was Lydia. And before she speaks, was anyone else on the SAC?
I'd like to get on it.
Okay, Michael. All right, go ahead, Lydia.
No, I just wanted to ask Carolyn if she can send us the minutes or when that motion was passed.
Yes. If I had them, I would have sent them long ago. I couldn't find them either. I will continue to look for them.
Okay, or just get us the meeting date so we can listen to the audio.
Uh-huh.
There were a number of issues that Janice was going to look. It was the viability and our ability to capably carry out the e-election. So, all the various aspects of that. We know there are e-voting capabilities out there. The thing was meshing it with what we have. Thank you.
I thought she was just going to look into companies and available. I didn't know it got into any details, as I recall. I'll try to find the minutes.
Meeting date would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Michael?
10 minutes are up.
Oh, thanks. How about if we extend for 10 more minutes? Any objection?
I second the motion.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. Hearing none, we're extending 10 more minutes. Now, Michael, when you speak, can you also give a little report if there's more to give than what Mark gave on the work? You all had one meeting of this committee's working group on e-voting. Is that right?
I wasn't actually able to get on the initial conference call because I got stuck in traffic and I called in and Adriana and Mark already finished, but then I spoke to Mark and we exchanged some email.
Okay, so let me just, sorry, before you speak, Michael, Mark, is what you said the full import of your working group call or is there more?
No, that pretty much, it's a condensation of the conversations that we had all together.
Okay.
It is not an actual meeting itself because we could not meet as a group.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I think basically, just to chime in, I would say that I think, you know, we have to essentially have a hybrid election because we do have, whether it's opt-in or opt-out, we're going to have some significant number of people who are going to need to cast paper ballots. And the other part of the expense, I think, is the question of the booklet and how people get the information on the candidate. So, you know, some of the expenses are not necessarily eliminated by having the e-voting, what I would say to that. I think that the concern I had raised is that we have a particular proprietary program that calculates the FTV voting, and I think it's actually required in the bylaws to use that. So the question is only whoever we get to do it has to be able to incorporate that vote tallying system, I think, into their FTV.
If I may point out,
yes,
I believe OpenVote.org is the, or OpenVote is the group that created that their software. It used to be freely available on SourceForge and now no longer is because they are providing it as a service.
Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on any of these questions about e-voting?
Fred.
Go ahead.
Actually, the software is not a problem. And the software... that's incorrect. This offer was not from SourceForge. It was from a professor up at UC Berkeley wrote it. And I think it's Choice Plus is the name of the software. And it's very easy to use. All they have to do, e-voting people have to do, is put the data that they get into the proper format in a text file and it can be processed by the Choice Plus software. That's it.
Okay. Well, I'll call on myself and say, first of all, that the provision for paper balloting is required by the bylaws. In other words, it is forbidden by the bylaws to move to a purely electronic voting election. It has to be a hybrid. If the foundation opts for electronic, they must retain paper ballots. So that's number one. And number two is one of the issues that's come up every time over several years that this committee has looked into electronic balloting is serious concerns about security. And I was wondering if those of you who looked into this have found assurances that any particular either software or company is genuinely secure. And if not,
yeah, Cal,
how can that be researched? Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, both of those questions. Now, we did get a proposal from another company, which later declined because at that point we were still demanding that the votes be counted in five different cities, and we reneged on that, and we went to one location. But in the meanwhile, one company backed out. But they had given us a proposal, and the company that we used last year had also urged us to do electronic balloting with an opt-out for paper balloting. We did just the opposite. So I think... we did not do, you know, electronic balloting at all. But I think that both companies that we looked at could definitely have done and showed us how, both paper and so on. That's not the problem. And as far as security goes, one of the issues is that at least one company says, that, and I think both of them, said that they never, ever do municipal or federal elections or state. They only do nonprofit or profit, for-profit organizations, but they do not. The security issue doesn't come up because it's not a political issue that's being addressed. But one of them actually gave us a protocol, and I'll send it to you, that wasn't proprietary, I think, about how, in fact, they make sure that it's secure. They check the email, the balloting process. They check several times a day to make sure it hasn't been hacked.
Okay, anyone else? Well, how do we want to proceed on this? We have a working group. It didn't exactly have a full-fledged meeting. The PNB has designated one member, Janice, to research this. So it seems like it would make sense for those, for that working group and that PNB member to communicate so that they're not reinventing each other's wheels. So do people on the working group have a suggestion on how to proceed?
I'm open at this point for anything. And frankly, we need to have something in place. We have to be ready to go, whether or not Summer and the PNB are willing and able to do it. Because if we don't, I can thoroughly tell you that you're opening the door for a legal challenge at the very least if we do not conduct elections in a timely manner. And frankly, as part of the fiduciary duties, as a delegate to the Pacifica Foundation, it is in my best interest and our best interest to act according to the ethical consideration and, frankly, to be damned to the consequences. We do need to conduct elections. That is our mandate. If we have to do it through e-voting and we can't meet every single person's criteria or criticism, well, that's the way it's going to be. There's not going to be any one system that's going to be 100% loved and liked by everyone. The best we can do is come up with the best possible solution. And if there's anybody that can be throwing stones at it, we just have to work to weather those stones.
Okay. So would one of the three of you be willing to convene the next meeting of the working group? One of the, that would be either Adriana, Michael, or Mark.
I was actually going to ask if I can get off this working group. I sort of got recruited to the last time. I'm the treasurer of RLSB. I'm on the finance committee and the secretary of this committee.
Of course. So would someone else like to join the working group besides Mark and Adriana? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Yeah, but what I want to ask is, Caroline, I think that she told us she has a bunch of experience, she has a bunch of information from previous working with the election committee on this issue. I think that would be really, I don't know if she has the time, but would be really interesting for us to have somebody that... have an information and, like you say, not start reinventing the wheel every time. And being she and PNB, maybe we will have a better option if we have any conclusions at all, or we have, I mean, to be transmitted to the PNB if she's part of our group. I'm asking.
Okay, well.
Are you asking me, Adriana, or just the group? I wasn't clear what you were asking.
Yeah, if you, Caroline, are willing to be part of this e-voting working group that we are trying to...
Well, I'll be glad to send you all I have, all the information I have, and let me see if the PNB is going to continue to work independently or as a group or not. Did anyone ever...
send anything to the CMB inviting them to the working group? I don't recall that getting any message as a member of the CMB to that effect. I know you voted to invite members of the CMB, but were they ever invited, actually, Bob?
I believe I sent that to the PNB. I'll double check. But I'll certainly, as we discussed earlier, I'll certainly resend it, you know, tomorrow.
Yeah, good idea.
I think
Bob, the time is up.
Okay, thanks, Fred. Go ahead, Michael.
I think Richard was responding to something I sent about that originally.
Well, you know, then maybe that's why I'm not remembering personally sending it. So if you could maybe tomorrow dig in your outbox and send me what you sent to the PNB, and then I'll resend it to them with a new cover note, Michael.
Okay, sure.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we're at time on this, and it sounds like there's no new people tonight who are willing to volunteer for the working group. So if Mark, would you be willing to talk to Adriana about setting another time for another discussion and then put it out to the whole list so in case someone perhaps is not on this call tonight wants to join you, that they can do so. And, of course, if there's anyone on the PNB who's not on this committee that decides to take up the invitation that we offered at our last meeting, they could do that as well. Okay?
All right.
So just keep us posted on whatever work your group does. Okay. All right. Let's move on with the agenda. The next item is, let's see here. Next steps on obtaining Pacifica's payment of the bill from Election Services Corp. For those who didn't have time to read the letter from the president of Election Services Corp., which was the company that did our balloting and election balloting and tabulation last year, I will read it to you. One second. Okay, this was addressed to Summer and Cece, to Carolyn, and myself. Sorry to keep pestering folks, but my board, this is the Board of Election Services Corp., is pressuring me to present a solution to this matter. Can someone please get back to me as soon as possible with a solution? And this is in response to an earlier note he had written, or following up an earlier note saying, can you tell me who, this is to Carolyn, can you tell me who we should be contacting at Pacifica to arrange for the payment schedule? I copied Summer, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Also, if there's anything we can do to assist your next election, please let me know and we'll discuss some options that might be doable. Okay, so then tonight, as we were meeting, Summer sent Frank and CC'd me and Carolyn the following. Dear Frank, please accept my sincere apologies for the long delay in settling the balance owed to your firm. We will be in touch to work out a payment plan schedule with you. I've copied the new CFO. Thank you. From somebody. So, does anyone think there's anything more that the committee needs to do, or does her note to him kind of, you know, deal with it adequately?
Carolyn here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad that Summer addressed this because I know it's been worrisome, and I've been working on it. But I'm concerned that, you know, we're talking about we must have the next election. Well, we haven't finished paying for the last one, and I'd advise us to make sure that we pay for the last one before we even think about entering into contracts and so on for the next one, because money is really tight, as you know. So I assume it will be kept posted on the progress that the foundation makes in paying this bill. But it really is important that we pay it before we get involved in the next election.
Okay. Any other comment on this matter from anyone?
This is Margie.
Margie and then Bruce.
Okay. So I hear what Carolyn is saying. You know, that's the way I like to run my life. I like to pay my bills before I take on new obligations. But the fact of the matter is that this is not discussed at the PNB, and we have we know we have all kinds of outstanding bills, and by not following the bylaws on the elections, we do something, you know, we're sort of cavalier about a lot of things, but this is an instance in which we're going to violate members' rights, and I feel like people are going to squawk, and I just want to say that I think that it seems to me that it's possible that if we were honest and direct with our members and said what the problem was, maybe nobody would sue us. But the fact of the matter is that we lay ourselves wide open to lawsuits, it's an incredibly frustrating situation, and I don't think people behave really very responsibly, and it bothers me a great deal. So I just need to say that. Thank you.
Okay, Bruce.
Okay, my thoughts are kind of along the same lines as what Margie just said. I guess I know it's after the fact now, but it also involves, you know, how we do things in the future. I'm not sure I understand why there isn't an election fund set aside, since we know the elections are going to occur. The PNB knows they're slated for certain years. And it's, you know, the fact that we could be in a position of not holding an election because we still owe money for a previous one, it does not speak well. And I think the PNB needs to, attack this problem directly as quickly as they can. I don't think it can be just shuffled aside. Maybe it says a lot about the way we do a lot of our business. But even though I understand what Carolyn's saying too, but it sounds like from what Summer's message was is that she's going to try and set up some kind of a payment plan. So then whatever money is owed for the last election then is a separate issue from going ahead with the mandated elections that we're supposed to have this year. And as everyone knows, the check of the bylaws shows that we're on a very strict timeline as to what, you know, even if the election is delayed, we still have to come in within certain parameters. And that time is slipping by fast. So I realize cost is an issue you can't get away from, but at the same time, we have to figure out how we're going to do it, and we better think about the future as well, so we don't get in this situation again. And it seems like maybe that's one of the things our committee ought to be addressing. But for now, I would say that we need to push as much as we can the PNB to move forward and act on the current need to have an election this year. That's my thought.
Okay. Anyone else?
Time.
Okay.
Adriana?
Yeah, if there's no objection to let Adriana speak. Adriana,
I would suggest 10 minutes extension.
I want to. My only thought is what Margie just said, and it's totally true. Well, not only her, I mean, some of you say this name.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how can we convey to the peer, I think that they know how we can make something in our committee to make them, the whole PNB understand that this is urgent. We have to make a decision, whatever. We can make it in a cheap way. I think that nobody is discussing that. But we need to get this now. We are in June, at the end of June. And we don't even know anything about the next election. Like I said, I mean, our members are already getting antsy about this. And we keep not deciding anything. How can we be sure that the PNB gets into this? How? That's it.
Well, if someone has a new idea, I think we've discussed this several times, that the PNB members on this call, we're asking them to be as forceful as possible on Thursday night in first of all, insisting that this not get postponed, but as an agenda item, and second of all, that they pass the motions the committee has adopted calling for this process to move forward immediately.
Right.
And that it's really too late already, but I mean, it's, you know, behind schedule already, so seriously behind schedule, and that cannot be allowed to continue. I mean, does anyone else have any other concrete suggestion on what more we can do? I think we've been pretty vocal.
Yes, Carol and I do. I have a point of information and then a suggestion. Is anyone on this committee, on the finance committee? No, okay.
Michael Nevicott.
Michael, okay. I don't know what part of, and excuse me if it sounds rude, there is no money. The committee doesn't understand, but there is no money. There is no money for an election. If the committee really wants, this committee really wants the elections to happen, I suggest that we do some serious fundraising. And that might be accompanied by that mandatory mailing in July that's supposed to go out to the members. We might use that letter, which is mandated, although it's been ignored in past years by all too many general managers, and make that a fundraising letter specifically for the elections. But there really isn't any money budgeted, goes forward or backward. There's no reserve fund for elections. It's a nice idea, but there just isn't any. So we might want to sit here and listen to the Finance Committee meeting tomorrow night, and we might also want to think about a fundraiser specifically for elections. Maybe that would be a good use of this committee's energy.
This is Margie.
Go ahead.
Well,
I'd like to go next.
It simply isn't true that there is no money. I'm convinced of that. But it is not true that the election was not budgeted for. This year's PMB budget did include expenses, money for an election. I don't remember what that figure was, but, you know, whether it would cover it or not, I don't remember. But the fact of the matter is that elections are anticipated. I totally agree with, is your name Bruce?
Bruce.
Who said that we ought to have, that, you know, that each year we should be putting money aside for elections, but there's no money to put aside. I think that it starts from the PMB being honest with the members about our situation. And I don't think it's fair to say that this committee is responsible for raising the money for the elections. We have to figure out a way to communicate to the people whose money makes this organization go. You know, the money comes from the people who are the subscribers, who give their money, and I think give pretty darn generously. We have to start with the PMB being completely honest with people about what our situation is and asking for support. And that means, and the beginning of that has to do, is the national office being honest with the board members, which hasn't happened yet in my brief experience on the board.
Okay. And this is Lydia.
Okay, was that Mark who wanted to speak?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll reiterate again, and this is on top of what Margie's pointing out. California Corporations Code 5510. We don't hold an election. Somebody's going to go to court on that. And with Pacifica's track record so far, Pacifica will fight that, run up the legal bills, and end up spending three or four times what an election would cost, whether it goes cheap or goes expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much money has been budgeted for that? So it's kind of a ridiculous statement to say there's no money for an election when you're realizing by not having it, you're stepping into a legal bear trap that's going to cost you at least as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should have fundraising. Of course, we could have had fundraising at a whole different locations, different times, and with different management in different places, but that's behind us now. As Markey says, the national office is not being honest with us, nor is the board. I'm getting understanding that there's a probably highly illegal so-called closed sessions that are not meeting the legal mandate for a closed session. And if anything comes out of those, we may end up finding ourselves liable for those as well.
Exactly.
There has to be an open, it has to be open, not just open for what I want to tell you. It has to be open for everything.
Mm-hmm.
All the bad, the scars, all the bad things as well. I mean, I've seen enough of it over the last 14 years to know that there's a lot of things going on that nobody wants to talk about, but we all have to talk about. If we want to do things in terms of raising funds, fine. We should do it as a national organization, not as a piecemeal five-part organization. Yet at the same time, each of those five pieces has to come up with its own fundraising as well. And this is going to take a coordinated effort, and it's not just something this committee can do. This is something that everyone has to be involved in. And it has to start on the PNB as a directive to the national office. And those two working together, coming up with a master plan. But to do that, they got to get buy-in. And the only way they're going to get buy-in is being open and honest with everyone else.
Okay. Did someone else want to speak?
Lydia?
Go ahead.
The foundation also, members of the foundation, the IED and certain PMB members cannot talk about having another in-person board meeting, which is in the bylaws but is not in California Corporations Code as elections are, and expect the listeners to believe we don't have money, but somehow they always find money when they want to have an in-person meeting. Also, the national office for the first time that I can remember did not send out a mailer at the end of last year, which normally yields $150,000. So there, you know, and but more importantly is that those of us that are on the national board don't have any financials to know. I mean, I feel we're broke, right? But we don't have financials to back that up. And it is absolutely true that most of the stations have, three of the five stations, I believe, have the money for the elections because they have it in their budget, and these are stations that are not overextended. So that has to be dealt with, because then why should those stations not have elections? I'm on the PMB, and I don't have any answers because I don't have any information. Just to say we don't have the money is not sufficient. We need the particulars. We need those financials. We need to know why we don't have any money if it's been budgeted at the individual stations level. They have a budget, so they have to have it. And they're all, most of them are meeting their fund drive goals. So what's up is the question.
Okay. It's now 10:30, which was the time we set for adjournment. So, can I have a, is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes?
I second the motion.
Okay. Yeah, you don't need to second motions in committee. Hearing no objection, then we'll extend for 10 minutes. So can we figure out if there's any concrete step we can take to address this financial issue? I mean, the one thing that occurs to me is that we should reopen this consideration that we had last year of, are there ways that, new ways that we haven't thought of in the past that we could save money in the way that the election's conducted? And I'm not suggesting we have time to have that conversation tonight, but is there a working group that could start looking at some of the different options out there? Or rather, would people be willing to form a working group to look at that? Now, obviously, it was earlier, let me just say one more thing. It was mentioned earlier that this one, I guess it was a nonprofit that does electronic voting is very inexpensive. That's great. That's fine, and that's one piece of the puzzle. But of course, you still have to have an NES and five LESs. That's in the bylaws, and you still have to do a paper mailing of some sort to those voters who want to vote by paper ballot. So. The question is, are there ways to create discounts on any of those pieces of the process? Okay, so that was Mark. Is that Mark?
Yes.
Go ahead.
And Carolyn on the directory.
Okay, and then Carolyn.
I've sent some of the links for the open voting information to the group, including the contacts and so forth. Under the OpaVote connection, there is the pricing, what they do. There's a FAQ on what they offer. If you're open to communication, you can talk to them and find out what's going on. To be quite blunt, in terms of cost and efficiency, I can't find anybody who's as we can. I can't find anything that's cost-wise similar and inexpensive. But, like I said, there could be someone out there more that I just could not locate at this time. I'll keep looking on that, and I think that's part of what our community is supposed to be doing. Our working group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Carolyn?
Yes, one of the issues is the cost of the local supervisors. If, in fact, they do electronic balloting, and if these motions and suggestions to reduce the number of on-air forums and so on go through, then the jobs of local election supervisors will be much reduced. So the cost of their salaries will definitely come down with either of those approaches. If we can work with electronics. So it's a package deal, and we need to look at the whole thing, not just, you know, one, can I do this or can I do that? One of the companies that gave us a proposal 2 years ago gave us great outlines. I think I already sent that to this committee. I'll send it again. On how to increase membership. Electronic balloting does improve participation. So if we can work that angle, increase membership before the date of record, and then make sure that those people voting are asked to contribute something when they send in their ballot, I think that may help us also. So that we have to do both, I think. We have to do fundraising directly and indirectly. Now, it may not be our job, but if we want the election to happen, I think it's a long road on.
Okay, Adriana, and then myself.
And Benito for the stack.
And Benito.
Yeah, Michael for the stack also.
Okay. Adriana?
Yeah, I agree with obviously everybody's
saying. I can't hear Adriana at all. Are you on speakerphone or something? It's very unclear.
Can you hear me now?
That's better. Better, yes, thank you.
Okay. What I'm saying is absolutely true that I heard not long ago in one of the PNB meetings with the CFO, the new CFO, he said that elections need to be going. I mean, he said it there. Everybody says that. But then we said we don't have money. I agree. We need to find probably different options, cheaper options, whatever. But we cannot select that we don't have money for that. Because we cannot tell our members, you know, that we don't have money, sorry, we don't have elections. You keep paying and keep putting your money. We represent you, but we are not even honest telling you the whole situation. I'm telling you that, we can not have employees, we can not have a bunch of things, but elections is not an option not to have. Is the reason, we exist because of that, because we have members and we need to follow up those bylaws that make us, have an election. We have to. Then we need to figure out a way. But what I can see that we keep delaying without really heading on the problem. We have to have elections. I want really the PNB telling us, yes, we know what we need to have elections. We cannot have maybe meetings. We cannot have a bunch of things, but we have to have elections. If not, we don't have a viable Pacifica.
Okay. All right. I'll call on myself. I think that maybe a step that would help this process is for us to adopt a motion right now that calls on the PNB to follow through in what I thought they had done about 2 months ago, which is to ask when the question was brought up about what is Summer's intention on the timetable for election, she said, well, we don't really have any money. So somebody on the PNB said, well, let's ask the CFO, the new CFO, to cost out what it would cost, and then we'll assess the issue. I assume, because I haven't heard anything about, since, that
sure.
never happened. Oh, please do. Go ahead, Michael.
The CFO made it clear at the last Finance Committee meeting, which you joined, that his top priority at the moment is completing the audit of the last year's budget, so that apologize for not being able to do anything else until that was completed, but that's the, practically speaking, what the National Financial Staff is dealing with, is trying to get the audit satisfactorily completed.
Right, and by the way, I wasn't, let me clarify, I wasn't intending to be critical of the CFO, I was just trying
the
factual situation. So, is there an estimate when the audit will be completed?
He wasn't all that optimistic about it getting done on time, which is the end of this month.
And on June.
Did you say the end of this month, Michael?
It was supposed to be done the end of this month. He was not optimistic that they'd be able to meet that deadline even with the work they did. And the CPB has withheld funds because of not satisfying the previous corrections supposed to be made from the prior audit. So, it has to get done.
All right. Well, let me ask this then, Michael. You sit on the Finance Committee. What would you think of us perhaps adopting a motion urging the PNB to direct the National Finance Committee to provide, because really, I don't think they need the CFO. They can go back into, they should have some of this data directly, to go back into the records and provide a detailed breakdown of the cost of the 2012 delegate elections, and also just extract from this fiscal year's budget, what are the exact amounts that have been allocated for the elections at each of the five stations? Just to get that all on one spreadsheet so we can, we and the PNB can have all the figures in front of them. And then, and meanwhile, simultaneously, maybe if we could have a couple of people on our committee really try to put together the estimates for the cheapest way that we can think of to hold elections this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can send an email. We're meeting tomorrow, and I think Tracy did send out some figures that that's what Adriana was referring to for last year's cost. The station budgets, I know because the current budget accounting is through all of them, budgeted money for the election again this year. And I assume the PNB did as well, actually.
It was in all five budgets.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone has ever put it on one piece of paper and said, this station they allocated this amount at that station, that amount. Now, I realize that's a different question than cash flow at the moment, but at least that's a starting point. And
Carolyn, on the start, please.
Okay, hang on. I'm almost done.
Mm-hmm.
And the key piece of what I'm saying, though, Michael, for the for the treasurer or for the finance committee is a detailed breakdown of last year's cost. How much went to the to the NES? How much went to the LAS? How much went to Election Services Corporation and any other bodies that, money went to? And that'll give us a basis for comparison.
Yeah.
Time is up.
Okay, thanks for that. So do we want to take 10 more minutes to try to tie up the loose ends on the finance issue?
I think we should finish this.
I would object.
You would object. Okay. So I guess my motion is a 10-minute extension.
I second the motion.
Okay, so we don't need seconds. Michael, can you please call the roll for a 10-minute extension of this meeting to resolve the finance question?
Okay.
This is what Sorry, Bob, did you say to do what?
To finish this conversation about what we can do about the finances of elections.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Carolyn Burton?
Yes,
Carolyn. Before we vote, I just wanted to make one point. The information you're asking for from the Finance Committee and CFO is probably all there. Someone And that's Michael, because he's on that committee. We just have to go over all the spreadsheets that the Finance Committee looks at and extract the data. But I don't think the CFO is going to have time
That's exactly what I said. Once Michael explained that the CFO was busy with the audit, I shifted my suggestion to the committee and not the CFO. And
I said that the data is there,
but it's not on one sheet.
Right.
So,
okay. So just
are you still objecting to 10 more minutes?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't think anyone would disagree that that's a good thing to do. I don't think we need 10 minutes to look
further. Well, I think there's another piece that we need to address, which is how our committee can look at costs going forward. So go ahead with the vote, Michael.
All right, so I'm extending for 10 more minutes. Carolyn?
I'm going to say no. I have to get off the call, I'm afraid.
Okay, Fred? Blair?
No.
Olivia Brazon?
Yes.
Adriana Casanave?
Yes.
Anita Diaz?
Yes.
Mark Hernandez?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Myself, I'll vote yes. Bruce Wolf?
No.
And Margie Wilkinson?
Yes.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yeses and 1, 2, 3 no's. So I guess we'll go for 10 more minutes.
Okay. All right. So if I can, well, before I call myself, is there anyone else who wants to speak?
Well, I hadn't been on the stack.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I was.
And then Benito, and then myself. Go ahead, Michael.
So the argument I made at the Finance Committee about this actually is that, you know, in the current political situation of, you know, all these exposures of the surveillance state and then, you know, the indictments and so on against, and the threats against journalists, that actually having the elections is a major selling point for Pacifica as a democratic, you know, kind of a less democratic media institution standing and is vital. So I think that not having elections would be penny wise and pound foolish in terms of really the survival of the network. And, you know, briefly, I agree with the idea of trying to economize, and but I do think that the money is there. It's a question of prioritizing. The other thing we did suggest from the working group on the problems of the election was to reconstitute election committees at each of the stations that could assist the local election supervisors. That might also help to, you know, get people hired for less on that.
Front.
That's all.
Okay. Benito?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask some clarification from Carolyn. Carolyn spoke earlier, and she, I'm not clear what you were saying, Carolyn. Were you saying that there was some kind of proposal that you were reading from, and you said something about a package deal, and part of it was some idea or proposal to lessen the number of candidate forms? I just wanted some clarification on what you had said.
Thank you. Didn't this committee vote to do that, to lessen the number of minutes or hours spent on air?
Yes.
I don't think
the PNB ever took it up one way or the other, by the way.
Well, that's the sort of proposal that will drive people crazy, because I think it destroys the whole point of the election, but it will save some money. So that's what that is. Maybe we should look at that again.
So Carolyn, I was going to make a similar comment, but just based on my first hearing of it, but I guess another question that I was having is, I didn't understand, Carolyn, were you reading from a proposal or something, or a decision that had been made?
I was recalling the motion that this committee passed.
I see.
But I wasn't reading from it. I don't have it.
Yeah, well, refreshing on
that. You know, this committee did that. I thought it was ill-advised, and I still do. But, you know, that's what the committee voted on.
And that was last year or something?
No, more recent than that, Bob, wasn't it?
I'm trying to remember what year it was. I don't know.
I think it was last year. There was a formula that was being honored in the brief. It was never really kept it because it was it required so many for that it was impossible. And in the case of KPFK, and like 35 people running, and the number of forms it would have been prohibitive. But
I think
I don't think that.
I think there were two different issues. I'm looking now at one of the motions on the list remaining for the PNB to take up, and it says the Elections Committee strongly urges the managers at the five stations to ensure that in all signal areas, on-air listener candidate debates allocate at least 1 hour for each five candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So that only deals with the question of how much time per forum, not how many forums there should be. In a previous year, we recommended, now that I think about it, I think the PNB did pass this other motion, which is that instead of the mandate from 2009 that the PNB passed, which is that there be three on-air debates throughout the course of an election, which, you know, every program director said that's just utterly impossible. I mean, this is hours and hours and hours of repeat candidate debate. That one such round, but one round with full time allocated, so each candidate could really make their case, could really take questions from the audience, that one round would be sufficient. One round with every candidate, you know, speaking, and no more than five candidates per hour. So that's where this committee is most reasonably expressed itself.
To reduce from three to one?
Right.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry, I forgot. Who was next on the stack after Benito?
I think you were.
Okay. Well, then all I want to say is that I would really like to see us come up with a group that would try to synthesize the cost of this year's election, the lowest cost we can come up with. I'm sorry I'm not able to volunteer at this time to do that, but I'm wondering if there's anyone else who would take some of the data we already have and hopefully the data we can soon get from the Finance Committee, since Michael's going to ask for it at tomorrow night's meeting, and put it together with an estimate as to how much it would cost going forward. And by the way, this should not be used by the PNB as an excuse to delay in authorizing the election to move forward, but merely to inform the process as it unfolds as to just how much, what is a minimum that it would be needed.
So, well,
any takers?
I'll do it.
Who is that?
I already have the baseline
Mark?
Information.
Yes.
Okay. I already have the baseline information from OpaVote.
Right, but we also have the NES, the LESs, and the balloting, preparing the designing the ballot, printing it, mailing it to those who need it, and then the tabulation of the paper ballots. Those are extra expenses that I don't think are covered by what you were referring to.
Actually, I believe they are, but I've got to go
into okay.
On it.
Well, if they are, then great. But
one of the considerations I had was actually hiring them as the NES and then having an LES at each station.
All right, well, check what the possibilities are.
That sounds like a good idea.
All right, would someone work with Mark?
Well, I would try to help if I could.
Okay, thank you, Adriana. Anyone else?
And this is Bruce.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can help with. I don't know.
That would be great.
I don't promise anything, but I mean,
Bruce, I'll just dump information on you and just wade through it. That's
okay.
It.
Okay, let me,
Adriana?
Yep.
Yes,
Adriana. What I want, before we finish this, I want to have the opinion of our the four PMBs that are in this committee, if they agree, and they will try to push our agenda in the whole PMB.
Right. Well, hopefully we'll have an answer on that Thursday night.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see. If we don't, then we got another situation on our hands. But
uh-huh.
We should just use all of all of us should contact our PNB reps and urge them to vote on Thursday for, you know, to move forward quickly.
Point of information here?
Yes.
Someone said earlier that Margie was not on this list. Is that true? Margie, are you getting emails from the list? If I send something to the list, will everyone get it? Everyone on the call at least
should
not
on
this list.
She's not on the KPFTX has a list of committee members that
right.
You see when you click it. She's not in that.
Okay.
She's not on that.
Michael, we can't understand what you're saying.
He just said I'll say it. He just said that the KPFTX list where it says who's on the committee, Margie's not on that, but she is
on the
listserv. That we all distribute our, you know, communicate with each other. Right, Marty?
Yes. But I am on this committee. And
right.
Yes.
No, absolutely.
I'm not denying your members of the committee. I'm just saying somebody has to correct the KPFTX list of the committee.
Okay.
We had the same problem on the audit committee with someone who couldn't
all right.
get on.
So this working group is basically the same. There's no need for a separate group of people around the e-voting that we established earlier and this group around the cost. It's really all one group that we could call it. I don't know what to call it. Just how about the election cost working group, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Or election cost and logistics working group, or something like that. Does that agree?
E-logistics.
Okay. Well, but it's not just e-election. That's the point I was making, was it has to include a paper component. That's required by the bylaw. So the cost must be included. Okay. So we have Adriana, Mark, and Bruce will be part of that working group, and they'll keep us posted on when they're going to have a conference call and on any progress they make in their budgeting and whatever other work they do. You know, share it on the listserv. All right, I have a feeling we're just
I have one more question.
Okay,
sorry.
Go ahead.
Is anybody keeping track of the members, the action, because this committee, supposedly we have 15 members, we have various meetings, and some of them are never in this call. Because, I mean, what I worry is Captain, obviously, in all our stations, too. If people want to be part of the committee, you know, it's open to all the members, that's fine, but they need to come to our meetings, and we need to keep, you know, a record of which ones are the ones that cannot, because if not, the requirement for quorum is so high that then nobody works.
Right. Well, that's
anybody keeping track?
That's a point well taken. Maybe when Michael has a spare minute between all the tasks he's doing, he could check whether anyone has reached the threshold of skipping two meetings or not being present at two meetings in a row, in which case we have to give them a formal warning that if they make a third meeting, they're automatically removed. So, Michael.
Well, this is Lydia.
Well, let me just ask Michael, when you have time at some point before the next meeting, could you just go back the last two, well, tonight's meeting and last month's meeting and see if there's anyone, you know, or I guess you may have to go to the one before that as well, see if anyone has missed two consecutive up through tonight, and then and send me their names, and I'll send them a formal note, you know, cautioning them that they could be removed if they don't come to the next meeting. That's what the procedure, that's PNB standing procedure. Go ahead, Lydia.
Well, I think the procedure also requires a phone call.
Thank
and
you.
And so if
right.
we don't have, I also recommend that people, if the secretary doesn't have and the chair, well, the secretary at least, have everybody's phone number, I would recommend that we send them to Michael. The secretary should always have the phone contact information, particularly because there have been a lot of issues, with the list, with people's spam blockers. I know that I have received an apology from folks that send out the PNB reminders that mine was blocked through an error of theirs and on and so forth. So we don't know if people are receiving the notifications. And therefore, we do need to have some audio contact with them, call them on the phone. And that was part of that process that was approved back in the day in governance and passed.
Yes, thank you, Lydia, for reminding me of that procedure. Actually, I think I brought the motion to do that. So, yes, by all means, we should call people. And I think, Michael, if you've checked it recently, doesn't the KPFT X list include phone numbers of all the members?
No.
I don't believe so, no.
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no. Okay. I
thought I think anybody can look at that list.
The non-public version of the KPFTX calendar does have the phone numbers and email addresses.
Right.
You have to have a login to get to that.
Right, which I do as chair. So I seem to recall, it's been a couple months, but I think that everyone's phone number is there. So, and if not, I'll reach out to one of you who does attend regularly from the same signal area and ask you to help me get me that person's phone number.
Perfect.
So, you know, Michael can just compile the ones who are, you know, in this category of two meetings in a row.
Mm-hmm.
If missed, then I'll follow up. Okay? So I think we're pretty much at time, unless there's anything
burningly
urgent.
The time is expired.
Right. So
yeah,
there's
really
nothing burningly urgent, then let's adjourn the meeting.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.